जय राधा माधव पुण्य विहारी
And now chapter 19. Lord Vamanadev begs charity from Bali Maharaj.
Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bharadha.
Shukdev Goswami continued, When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadev, heard Bali Maharaj speaking in this pleasing way, he was very satisfied, for Bali Maharaj had spoken in terms of religious principles. Thus the Lord began to praise him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said,
O King, you are indeed exalted because your present advisors are the Brahmins who are descendants of Bhrigu, and because your instructor for your future life is your grandfather, the peaceful and venerable Prahlad Maharaj. Your statements are very true, and they completely agree with religious etiquette. They are in keeping with the behavior of your family, and they enhance your reputation. I know that even until now, no one taking birth in your family has been poor-minded or miserly. No one has refused to give charity to Brahmins, nor after promising to give charity has anyone failed to fulfill his promise. O King Bali, never in your dynasty has the low-minded king been born, who, upon being requested, has refused charity to Brahmins in holy places, or a fight to Kshatriyas on a battlefield. And your dynasty is even more glorious due to the presence of Prahlad Maharaj, who is like the beautiful moon in the sky. It was in your dynasty that Hiranyaksha was born. Carrying only his own club, he wandered the globe alone, without assistance, to conquer all directions, and no hero he met could rival him. When delivering the earth from the Garbhodak sea, Lord Vishnu, in his incarnation as a boar, killed Hiranyaksha, who had appeared before him. The fight was severe, and the Lord killed Hiranyaksha with great difficulty. Later, as the Lord thought about the uncommon prowess of Hiranyaksha, he felt himself victorious indeed. When Hiranyakashipu heard the news of his brothers being killed, with great anger he went to the residence of Vishnu, the killer of his brother, wanting to kill Lord Vishnu. Seeing Hiranyakashipu coming forward, bearing a trident in his hand like personified death, Lord Vishnu, the best of all mystics and the knower of the progress of time, thought as follows, Wheresoever I go, Hiranyakashipu will follow me, as death follows all living entities. Therefore, it is better for me to enter the core of his heart, for then, because of his power to see only externally, he will not see me. O King of the demons, after Lord Vishnu made this decision, he entered the body of his enemy Hiranyakashipu, who was running after him with great force. In a subtle body inconceivable to Hiranyakashipu, Lord Vishnu, who was in great anxiety, entered Hiranyakashipu's nostril along with his breath. Upon seeing that the residence of Lord Vishnu was vacant, Hiranyakashipu began searching for Lord Vishnu everywhere. Angry at not seeing him, Hiranyakashipu screamed loudly and searched the entire universe, including the surface of the earth, the higher planetary systems, all directions, and all the caves and oceans. But Hiranyakashipu, the greatest hero, did not see Vishnu anywhere. unable to see him, Hiranyakashipu said, "I have searched the entire universe, but I could not find Vishnu, who has killed my brother. Therefore, he must certainly have gone to that place from which no one returns. In other words, he must now be dead." Hiranyakashipu's anger against Lord Vishnu persisted until his death. Other people in the bodily concept of life maintain anger only because of false ego and the great influence of ignorance. Your father, Virochana, the son of Maharaj Prahlad, was very affectionate toward Brahmins. Although he knew very well that it was the demigods who had come to him in the dress of Brahmins, at their request he delivered to them the duration of his life. You also have observed the principles followed by great personalities who are householder Brahmins, by your forefathers, and by great heroes who are extremely famous for their exalted activities. O King of the Daityas, from your majesty, who come from such a noble family and who are able to give charity munificently, I ask only 3 paces of land to the measurement of my steps. O King, controller of the entire universe, although you are very munificent and are able to give me as much land as I want, I do not want anything from you that is unnecessary. If a learned Brahmin takes charity from others only according to his needs, he does not become entangled in sinful activities.
O son of a Brahmin, your instructions are as good as those of learned and elderly persons. Nonetheless, you are a boy, and your intelligence is insufficient. Thus you are not very prudent in regard to your self-interest. I am able to give you an entire island because I am the proprietor of the 3 divisions of the universe. You have come to take something from me and have pleased me by your sweet words, but you are asking only 3 paces of land. Therefore, you are not very intelligent. Oh, small boy, one who approaches me to beg something should not have to ask anything more anywhere. Therefore, if you wish, you may ask for me as much land as will suffice to maintain you according to your needs.
Oh, my dear king, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the 3 worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. If I were not satisfied with 3 paces of land, then surely I would not be satisfied even with possessing one of the 7 islands consisting of 9 varshas. Even if I possessed 1 island, I would hope to get others. We have heard that although powerful kings like Maharaj Prithu and Maharaj Gaya achieved proprietorship over the 7 dvipas, they could not achieve satisfaction or find the end of their ambitions. One should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny, for discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy, even with possessing the 3 worlds. Material existence causes discontent in regard to fulfilling one's lusty desires and achieving more and more money. This is the cause for the continuation of material life, which is full of repeated birth and death. But one who is satisfied by that which is obtained by destiny is fit for liberation from this material existence. A Brahmin who is satisfied with whatever is providentially obtained is increasingly enlightened with spiritual power, but the spiritual potency of a dissatisfied Brahmin decreases as fire diminishes in potency when water is sprinkled upon it. Therefore, O King, from you, the best of those who give charity, I ask only 3 paces of land. By such a gift I shall be very pleased, for the way of happiness is to be fully satisfied to receive that which is absolutely needed. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead had thus spoken to Bali Maharaj, Bali smiled and told him, "All right, take whatever you like." To confirm his promise to give Vamanadeva the desired land, he then took up his water pot. Understanding Lord Vishnu's purpose, Shukracharya, the best of the learned, immediately spoke as follows to his disciple, who was about to offer everything to Lord Vamanadeva. Shukracharya said,
O son of Virochana, this brahmachari in the form of a dwarf is directly the imperishable supreme personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Accepting Kashyapa Muni as his father and Aditi as his mother, he has now appeared in order to fulfill the interests of the demigods. You do not know what a dangerous position you have accepted by promising to give him land. I do not think that this promise is good for you. It will bring great harm to the demons. This person, falsely appearing as a brahmachari, is actually the supreme personality of Godhead, Hari, who has come in this form to take away all your land, wealth, beauty, power, fame, and education. After taking everything from you, he will deliver it to Indra, your enemy. You have promised to give him 3 steps of land in charity, but when you give it, he will occupy the 3 worlds. You are a rascal. You do not know what a great mistake you have made. After giving everything to Lord Vishnu, you will have no means of livelihood. How then shall you live? Vamanadeva will first occupy the 3 worlds with 1 step. Then he will take his 2nd step and occupy everything in outer space. And then he will expand his universal body and occupy everything. Where will you offer him the 3rd step? You will certainly be unable to fulfill your promise. And I think that because of this inability, your eternal residence will be in hell. Learned scholars do not praise that charity which endangers one's own livelihood. Charity, sacrifice, austerity, and fruitive activities are possible for one who is competent to earn his livelihood properly. They are not possible for one who cannot maintain himself. Therefore, one who is in full knowledge should divide his accumulated wealth in 5 parts: for religion, for reputation, for opulence, for sense gratification, and for the maintenance of his family members. Such a person is happy in this world and in the next. One might argue that since you have already promised, how can you refuse? Oh, best of the demons, just take from me the evidence of the Bhavritya Shruti, which says that a promise is truthful preceded by the word Om, and untruthful if not. The Vedas enjoin that the factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers derived from it. But if the bodily tree does not exist, there is no possibility of factual fruits and flowers. Even if the body is based on untruth, there cannot be factual fruits and flowers without the help of the bodily tree. When a tree is uprooted, it immediately falls down and begins to dry up. Similarly, if one doesn't take care of the body, which is supposed to be untruth, in other words, if the untruth is uprooted, the body undoubtedly becomes dry. The utterance of the word Om signifies separation from one's monetary assets. In other words, by uttering this word, one becomes free from attachment to money, because his money is taken away from him. To be without money is not very satisfactory, for in that position, one cannot fulfill one's desires. In other words, by using the word Om, one becomes poverty-stricken. Especially when one gives charity to a poor man or beggar, one remains unfulfilled in self-realization and in sense gratification. Therefore, the safe course is to say no. Although it is a falsehood, it protects one completely. It draws the compassion of others toward oneself, and it gives one full facility to collect money from others for oneself. Nonetheless, if one always pleads that he has nothing, he is condemned, for he is a dead body while living, or while still breathing, he should be killed. In flattering a woman to bring her under control, in joking, in a marriage ceremony, in earning one's livelihood, when one's life is in danger, in protecting cows and Brahminical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned.
Thus ends the 19th chapter of the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled, Lord Vamanadeva Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj.